All right, so we're doing the Satipatthana Sutta, and Tom took us through the first part last week, and I'm really picking up on the fourth foundation of mindfulness, which is the present quality of mind. So we'll go through that, then we're going to go through the hindrances and the aggregates and sixth sense base. So we have a lot to cover. So we'll be reading the Buddha's words and John's words, and then we'll open it up for some discussion. All right, so let's get to it. The present quality of mind, Buddha's words, and how does one remain mindful of the present quality of mind in and of itself? One remains focused on the mind internally or externally, on the mind itself. One remains focused on the origination of the mind and the arising. Just moved, sorry. One remains focused on the origination of the mind and the arising and passing away of with regard to the mind itself. Not sure what that says. One knows there is a mind. They remain independent of and not clinging to anything in the world. This is how one remains mindful of thoughts in and of themselves. The fourth foundation of mindfulness is, these are John's words, is being mindful of the present but impermanent quality of your mind. Is your present quality of mind inclined toward craving, clinging, and the continuation of stress? Is your present quality of mind inclined toward developing wisdom and release from craving and clinging? Knowing that there is a mind is mindfulness of the process resulting in the present quality of mind, and that one has control over the present quality of mind. During meditation, remaining mindful of the present quality of mind is dispassionate awareness of the process of feelings and thoughts affecting the present quality of mind, and noticing the impermanent quality of all mind states, the arising and passing away of qualities of the mind. During meditation, remaining mindful of the present quality of the mind is just, it's repeating. During meditation, remaining mindful of the present quality of mind is dispassionate awareness of the process of feelings and thoughts affecting the present quality of mind while being mindful of the impermanent nature of all mind states. Concentration supports mindfulness and insight of the arising and passing away of qualities of mind. This develops the singular quality of samadhi, non-distraction, remaining at peace with less than peaceful mind states. This is the quality of a well-concentrated mind during meditation and otherwise. All mind states are impermanent. Be at peace with less than peaceful mind states. The conclusion of the Satipatthana Sutta expands the four foundations of mindfulness from formal jhana meditation to apply these four frames of reference, first to the five hindrances, which often arise during meditation. If one or all of the hindrances arise, simply remain mindful of the particular disturbance and return mindfulness to the breath. When the hindrances arise outside of meditation, a well-concentrated mind will not be further distracted by the particular hindrance, but will dispassionately notice the arising and passing away of the hindrance. Applying the four foundations of mindfulness in reference to the hindrances or the aggregates or the sixth sense base or the seven factors of awakening or the Four Noble Truths should not be taken as direction on what to contemplate during meditation. Rather, it is important to remain mindful of the purpose of meditation is to deepen samadhi, which is non-distraction. Notice that these last four themes, the aggregates, the sixth sense base, the seven factors of awakening, and the Four Noble Truths, and David's going to be teaching on seven factors and Four Noble Truths next week. These are preceded by the word furthermore to show that these are themes to be considered outside of formal meditation, but supported by the concentration supporting the refined mindfulness developed during meditation. During meditation, remain mindful when thoughts are directed towards these themes and return to mindfulness of the breath. In this way, these important themes become integrated into the overall process of becoming Buddha without becoming a distraction during formal jhana meditation. So, what it's saying is what meditation is and what it isn't, what kinds of things come up, and that we just need to recognize them as distractions. This avoids the possibility of getting caught up in a feedback loop during meditation and directly contributes to the useful and skillful insight that will arise outside of meditation within the framework and guidance of the Eightfold Path. So, recognizing that the aggregates, the hindrances, all of this are distractions that we experience, but we should experience them in our world and integrate them as just a process and a part of living, but not to be distraction because we have the concentration from our meditation practice that we take with us and that guides us out in the world along with the Eightfold Path. So let's get into the five hindrances. Mindfulness of the five hindrances. Notice the guarantors offered by the Buddha. When one completely abandons a hindrance, it will not arise again. Completely abandoning the hindrances is a reasonable goal and skillful reference to progress. Remain mindful of the quality of mind in reference to the five hindrances. When these are the Buddha's words, when sensual desire is present, be mindful that sensual desire is present. When sensual desire is not present, be mindful that sensual desire is not present. So as your practice proceeds, you can recognize I'm not experiencing a hindrance, right? I'm not experiencing sensual desire. And recognize that because that's what John was just referring to as a reference of progress is when you can notice these things. When sensual desire is not present, be mindful that sensual desire is not present. Be mindful of abandoning sensual desire when it arises. Be mindful that when sensual desire has been completely abandoned, sensual desire will not arise in the future. Ill will. When ill will is present, be mindful that ill will is present. When ill will is not present, be mindful that ill will is not present. Be mindful of abandoning ill will when it arises. Be mindful that when ill will has been completely abandoned, ill will not arise in the future. Laziness and drowsiness. When laziness and drowsiness is present, be mindful that laziness and drowsiness is present. When laziness and drowsiness is not present, be mindful that laziness and drowsiness is not present. Be mindful of abandoning laziness and drowsiness when it arises. Be mindful that when laziness and drowsiness has been completely abandoned, laziness and drowsiness will not arise in the future. Restlessness and anxiety. When restlessness and anxiety is present, be mindful that restlessness and anxiety is present. When restlessness and anxiety is not present, be mindful that restlessness and anxiety is not present. Be mindful of abandoning restlessness and anxiety when it arises. Be mindful that when restlessness and anxiety has been completely abandoned, restlessness and anxiety will not arise in the future. And I think for many of us, restlessness and anxiety is what can bring you to a meditation practice. Being able to recognize it and even be able to think that it's possible to abandon it, I think is the Buddha being very optimistic and presenting a hopeful path to us. When doubt and uncertainty is present, be mindful that doubt and uncertainty is present. When doubt and uncertainty is not present, be mindful that doubt and uncertainty is not present. Be mindful of abandoning doubt and uncertainty when it arises. Be mindful that when doubt and uncertainty has been completely abandoned, doubt and uncertainty will not arise in the future. In this way, one remains mindful of the quality of mind and the arising and passing away of the qualities of mind. So, thinking of the hindrances just as qualities of the mind, independent of and not clinging to anything in the world. This is how one remains mindful of the quality of mind in and of itself. John's words. This is a broader type of mindfulness that notices the quality of your mind that has developed from defining yourself through self-referential experiences driven by feelings and conditioned thinking. Notice when your mind seeks further sensual stimulation. Notice when your mind is distracted by ill will. This is like your homework assignment. Notice when your mind is dull or restless or anxious or distracted by uncertainty. Return mindfulness to the breath. This is developing mindfulness of the five hindrances. Mindfulness of hindrances directed by the right intention to abandon hindrances brings release. Hang in there. Mindfulness of the five clinging aggregates. The hindrances is the most important part of this whole piece. Let's get through the aggregates. Furthermore, one remains mindful of the quality of mind in reference to the five clinging aggregates. Remain mindful of form and the arising and passing away of form. Remain mindful of feelings and the arising and passing away of feelings. Remain mindful of perceptions and the arising and passing away of perceptions. Remain mindful of fabrications and the arising and passing away of fabrications. Remain mindful of consciousness and the arising and passing away of consciousness. In this way, one remains mindful of the five clinging aggregates and the arising and passing away of the five clinging aggregates, independent of and not clinging to anything in the world. This is how one remains mindful of the five clinging aggregates in and of themselves. John's words. The Buddha is teaching here to be mindful of self-identification to the five clinging aggregates. He is teaching to be mindful of the impermanence of each of these aggregates, the arising and passing away of each aggregate. This relates to dependent origination and supports insight into the process rooted in ignorance that confusion, deluded thinking, and ongoing disappointment is dependent on. I'm going to read that again. This relates to dependent origination and supports insight into the process rooted in ignorance that confusion, deluded thinking, and ongoing disappointment is dependent on. So it's dependent on ignorance of the Four Noble Truths. Outside of formal meditation, a well-concentrated mind will become increasingly less self-identified to these impermanent aggregates and become increasingly awakened. All righty, rounding the bend. Mindfulness of the sixth sense base. Furthermore, one remains mindful of the quality of the mind in reference to the sixth sense base. Remain mindful of the I form and the clinging that arises from the I form. Be mindful of the arising of clinging to the I form. Be mindful that when clinging to the I form is completely abandoned, clinging to the I form will not arise in the future. Remain mindful of the ear form and the clinging that arises from the ear form. Be mindful of the arising of clinging to the ear form. Be mindful when clinging to the ear form is completely abandoned. Clinging to the ear form will not arise in the future. Remain mindful of the nose form and the clinging that arises from the nose form. Be mindful of the arising of clinging to the nose form. Be mindful that when clinging to the nose form is completely abandoned, clinging to the nose form will not arise in the future. Remain mindful of the tongue form and the clinging that arises from the tongue form. Be mindful of the arising of clinging to the tongue form. Be mindful that when clinging to the tongue form is completely abandoned, clinging to the tongue form will not arise in the future. Remain mindful of the body form, touch sense, and the clinging that arises from the body form. Be mindful of the arising of clinging to the body form. Be mindful that when clinging to the body form is completely abandoned, clinging to the body form will not arise in the future. Remain mindful of the mind form and the clinging that arises from the mind form. Be mindful of the arising of clinging to the mind form. Be mindful that when clinging to the mind form is completely abandoned, clinging to the mind form will not arise in the future. In this way, one remains mindful of the sixth sense base and the arising and passing away of sixth sense base, independent of and not clinging to anything in the world. This is how one remains mindful of the sixth sense base in and of themselves. So it's like a long list of be mindful when you're distracted, you know, and when you're not at peace, when you're not experiencing, you know, a pleasant quality of mind. And these are just lots of lists and examples.
Eric, couldn't you also say you could replace clinging when going through the sixth sense base with self-identification? So self-identification with the nose form, when self-identification or the eye form or the ear form. So as soon as I self-identify with those, as I open my eyes or self-identify with contact through the ears or the touch form or the body form, then I'm stuck to it. I'm clinging.
I'm distracted,
I'm distracted.
right? And the quality of my mind can't be present with, you know, how I'm living my life.
I mean,
Yes.
you're describing all these lists. This is your life. This
Yeah.
is
Yeah.
everything that can possibly arise.
This is like everything we do every day. And it's being able to identify it, whether it's knowing your body by feeling how you feel when these things are happening, and just recognize that there's a quality of mind that you could be having if you weren't there. And like we were talking before class started about our distractions with technology and everything, that's like a perfect example of catch yourself doing this when you're eating or just biding your time or whatever. Catch yourself because the quality of your mind can't be as good as it could be if you could summon up what the quality of your mind is like when you're in samadhi in meditation. And that's accessible to all of us, even off our cushion. So just ending with John's words. Mindfulness of the various sense-based consciousness brings a profound understanding of creating self-referential views through sense contact and also directly relates to dependent origination. Avoid being distracted by the sixth sense base. Really hard, right? That's all the incoming into our bodies and every piece of advertising or, you know, even books you read, you know, it's all about those senses. Avoid being distracted by the sixth sense base and remain mindful of sixth sense base and the arising and passing away of the sixth sense base, independent of and not clinging to anything in this world. This includes becoming analytical of what should be dispassionate mindfulness of the sixth sense base. So, for example, smell the flowers, right? Smell the flowers, but don't overanalyze. Should I be smelling the flowers? Should I be not smelling the flowers? Am I distracted? That's not exactly what he's talking about. So these are the Buddha's words and John's words. So thank you. That was a lot, right?
Good job.
All righty. All right. Well, I'll start with you, Tracy. Did you have anything you wanted to share or anything? How's your practice going?
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Thank you for the teaching. It's a lot of reading. It gets tiring, I'm sure, after a while. I think I'll just add or share that the last couple of weeks at work have been a test for my where I'm at in my practice, big time. Today in particular, I almost didn't come today. Glad I did.
Oh, this is exactly what you need to do
You're
when you
right.
have a day
Yes. I mean,
like
even my
that.
meditation, I didn't even know what was going on those 20 minutes, like where my head was at. I kept trying
All you have to
to
do.
really focus on the breath, and it just kept. But yesterday I took a mental health day from my job and intentionally like simplified the whole day, gave myself a shot at remaining mindful of the sixth sense base and clinging and the hindrances. And I noticed when I intentionally simplified my day, I had one of the first days in years where I wasn't anxious. And it was like, I felt like a completely different person. It was like, I experienced like full cessation for like the whole day. And
Oh, congratulations.
I know. But I definitely, it also brought to the surface for me when you ask like, how's my practice? I think that, we can't live our lives like that every day, right? But I was grateful
But
to be
like
able
this,
to do that.
and the Sutta is just asking you to recognize
Yeah.
when the distraction is there and when it's not. And
Yes.
with any habit, you're going to really get on a roll with that. And
Right.
it's because
Yeah.
you practiced that you had a day like you did. So
Right. And I,
recognize it as progress.
yeah, and I definitely was very pleased with that progress. But and then today, I also recognized that I have a lot more work to do.
Yeah. Well,
And
and we
that's why
can't
I'm
be like
here.
craving for yesterday, right? Jeez, I wish I could be like I was yesterday, right? You can't worry about that. You're a human being and your practice is just getting stronger. I mean, it's like, working out and you can't do a plank when you get started, and then suddenly one day you can do a plank because you're getting stronger and you're sticking with it. So that's all you can do. So good.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
Glad to be
Hi,
here.
hi Raquel, how are you?
Hi,
Hi,
everyone. Thank
how are
you,
you?
Mary,
How's
for
your
the teaching.
practice? Yeah.
I can hear you,
You can't.
Tracy.
You just
Can you
froze.
hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? No.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, the internet is unstable.
It looks intermittent. Yeah.
Well, then I will. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, now's good. Now's
I
back.
will let somebody else talk and then.
Okay. All right, Jane, let's go.
Thank you for the teaching,
Now
Mary.
that.
Oops.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jane.
Okay. I have a bit of a cold, so I'm not going to talk tonight, but great job.
Oh, thank you, Jane. Good to see you. All right. And Raquel, did you want to give it another shot, or you look like you're frozen?
Stomach.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I
I
can
know
hear it.
you're from look you
Oh, now you're good.
Yeah, I think I have a bad connection.
All right. All right. Okay, yeah. So we'll move on.
I will do the mobile silence.
Okay. All right, internet silence.
I see.
All right. All right. Glad you're here. All right. In the interest of time, we can certainly go around to everybody, or we can allow people to just, people who want to share how your practice is going or anything you read or prepared to be here today. Or I can just pick on people. We're actually doing okay with time. It's only 8. So, Ram, I'll start with you. I'll pick on you.
I'm good for tonight.
Okay. All right. Tamia, anything?
Thank you for the teaching.
It's great to see you.
Great to see you. I've overlapped in for some
reason. I know. You look a little different.
This teaching really resonates with me. I just wanted to share that my sixth sense base is so auditory.
Mm.
Like if I'm in a room where multiple things are happening with lots of conversations, I have a really hard time focusing. Or if Zach and I are driving in the car in the morning and he's DJing and like it's something that's like too loud or too stimulating, yeah. I just like that. It's not preference, it's stress. I feel so like,
yeah.
And it just overcomes. And in so many areas of my practice, I feel like I am becoming more mindful of, you know, certain, I'm forgetting which list I'm referring to, but like certain areas of stress arising and passing mm-hmm. away, but like music, like that's, if it's too jarring for me in the moment, like that's like, I'm just in the process of being more aware of that in the moment. So like,
right.
Being stressed out, put down the volume. It's just interesting how I think different parts of the sixth sense space impact probably each of us in different
right.
ways.
Right.
Not to put Zach on the spot, but smell is really big for him.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's so cool in a way.
And yeah.
So many opportunities to practice.
Yeah. Great.
And keep in mind, what the Buddha is teaching you is the impermanent nature of all things. That's the insight. And that's the, keeps repeating over again, it's arising, it's passing away.
Right.
Be aware of it. It's not.
Be aware of it and be aware that it's impermanent.
And it's always changing and it's not gonna stay permanent and it can't be you then.
It's not only changing, it's decaying.
It's decaying, and you have to understand that that's the nature of what the Buddha is teaching us. That's your opportunity to be aware of not sticking the second arrow in when you're really, that noise is like.
Well, we're sticking it in him.
Yes.
Turn that music off.
He gets to take it first.
Channel 330 on Sirius XM is Silky. That is early 2000s R&B. It's always acceptable. It's just at 9 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Right.
To the doctor.
That's good.
It's acceptable.
Navigate those sixth sense base there. Yeah,
Mary
there
Jane
you go.
Blige, you're not
a fan. Oh, that's great.
A cool vibe.
That's great.
Selfie vibes
only. Oh, that's so cute. Oh my God, Julia!
Thank you, Mary, for the teaching. I really enjoyed this sutta. But just like you all said, it happens constantly,
yeah.
Very long.
It's a long list because it's a lot of
yeah,
stuff coming at us.
But it's something that is it's the phenomenal world, and it's how it, you know, how it's in our mind, how we create with our ego our permanent self.
Yeah,
and we have to recognize that we can't attach all these things because they're impermanent, they pass away.
Right.
And so even in meditation, it's true too. You know?
Yep.
It's not like we have to get stuck and say, you know, I have to remember the breath. I have to, you know, it's okay. What comes, let it pass through you.
Right.
Remember the breath.
Right.
Go back to it, you know.
Yeah.
It's not
very forgiving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not a, you know,
Right.
not to have it in your head, because
right.
that's actually probably also a version too, to, you know, just
right.
input that's coming in and not
well,
recognizing.
And it's also why the two sits a day is so emphasized, because you can't, how are you going to develop? Like, just think about all that information that we just downloaded. How are you going to develop or do what the Buddha just said if you're not sitting twice a day, you okay. know? Like, I hadn't really thought about that way, and
you know,
how
I find,
difficult.
I find both meditations are very different also. I don't know if everybody else feels this way too. My morning meditation is always like, okay, that's when I have thoughts and I'm start to think, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta do this,
yeah.
I gotta get up, I gotta do it.
Yeah.
20 minutes yet? Is it gonna happen out? What is it?
Yeah.
Now? You know, that's where my mind is more
right.
active. In the evening is my best meditation. I always feel like, you know, and I could just like
yeah.
sit there as still as, you know,
yeah,
be still. And my mind actually really feels deep,
right.
you know?
Well, I think for some of us, like, we grew up like starting our work day in the shower.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And we used to wear that as a badge of honor. And God forbid the people who worked for us were like, incoming, she's coming.
Exactly.
She's been working for 2 hours. She just got here, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's probably just unlearning that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And when we think about the joy that we find when we either recognize the absence of a distraction or we have a really good sit, you know, the effort to get back there is the
effort. With that, yeah, that's also clinging, isn't it?
Well,
like, we're like sitting down. The next time we sit, we're like,
but you know, it's possible. Maybe that's what
I.
Yeah, but maybe that's what I should have said. We know it's possible.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So, like, even though you're having that experience mm-hmm. in your morning sit, you know you're capable,
right,
of possibly having something different.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You know you can do that.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, we talked about progress
mm-hmm.
last time, mm-hmm. and
you should acknowledge
and be joyful of that, but you cannot see it as anything that becomes clinging,
anything more than that,
goal,
right,
which is
right.
exact
it's
opposite of what you should be developing.
Mm-hmm.
So
but there should be some satisfaction, happiness,
skillful
mm-hmm. that, you know, because, like, whenever you're learning something new, and especially as an adult, you're learning something that you're like, gee, wish I knew this a long time ago. But you should reward yourself with, and maybe that's not the right word, but something that says, I did that. Or
it's a quiet acknowledgement
yeah.
that this is working.
I think you have to do that to offset the conditioning.
That's what you'll talk about Saturday.
Yeah. Stop stealing my soft thunder.
Okay. All right.
Why thank
not
you,
talk to you about it?
Yeah, you got that much, you know.
I'm just building it up, honey.
I got the easy
ones. We didn't even drive together, so I'm staying at my sister's house tonight. So
turn off the music.
All right, Michael.
Very good job, Mary.
Oh,
really,
I just read.
you really did
thank
well
you.
There. I really like seeing you. I like that.
Thank you.
I love this sutta. Like, when I first started reading this, I was like,
it's heavy.
Wow, it's heavy, but it's
whatever sutta is.
It screams of awareness, 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 awareness.
Yeah.
Every page is awareness. That awareness is present moment, be aware of the present moment, stillness in the present moment, not projecting into the future, not thinking about what happened
yesterday.
Here, what's happening now, shutting down, it's stilling the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
When we project here, or we project backwards, we're stilling.
The opposite, yeah.
It's the opposite. What we're doing is still staying still, shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the cause of our
stress.
I also love the idea of the breath, the arising and passing away of the breath. There's nothing screams impermanence more than the rising and passing away of the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Each breath we take, it's living and dying in each moment, each breath we take. And it's a constant reminder. I think that's such a powerful thing to keep in mind, holding.
And it's a simple thing too.
It's so
that
simple.
When we're here or we can be right here and experience something like we do when we're having a good sit, and we can experience that in the midst of all that, in the middle, and it's just in our breath. It's that simple.
But again, I'm going to sleep at this too.
Maybe that'll, right, there you go. It is.
60 times.
Well, that's how we learn. Yeah.
Awakening right there.
There you go.
Thanks again.
Thanks for being here, Michael. Tim?
I hope you do indulge me for a little bit.
Happy to.
But thank you very much for the teaching. This is a very, I get really emotional, which is not a skillful reaction to it, because the hindrances are something that I personally have been battling for years.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I started my Dhamma practice and the struggles I have because of, especially the restlessness and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety, as everybody knows, is worry and fear.
Yeah.
Which are just the most
debilitating
distractions.
Debilitating, yeah.
They consume, they torment. They torment. That's mm-hmm. what they are. The tormentors. And so with those hindrances, it's a challenge to really stay concentrated in the practice. I'm having a hard time tonight in my practice. It's probably the hardest I've ever had in meditating tonight. No specific reason for it. It's
right.
Just because of these hindrances, probably because I read it. The sutta.
Right. Well, recognize it.
It brought up we can go through the structure of why these things happen. We all know through our practice why they happen. The process, become an origination. The fact that every single thing in the physical universe is impermanent and is dying. Moving forward, there's birth and death, the whole thing. And then it's this, so that's what, I appreciate these classes like this because it really does help, But it's something that I'm hoping one day I can really, I'm aware of these hindrances. And
mm-hmm.
that's the really interesting thing. I'm curious to hear, somebody's wisdom on this, but awareness is great. But I've often said, to Michael, sometimes I wish I was very delusional. Because then I wouldn't, at least on the surface, have those afflictions. But because there's the awareness, there's an awareness of what is happening at this present moment. And then there's this frustration of not being able to, make it go away.
Well, you're just aware of one part of this. You're aware of the arising.
That's right.
And
it's the passing away.
Let's have a Lorna moment, right?
Yeah.
Lorna was famous for, I think for a lot of us, she identified the, we forget to recognize the passing
yeah.
away.
No,
and so it's not a constant in your life. You just not recognize.
I look at that as the claim.
It's a focus, yeah.
Yeah, and it's almost like that. Again, there's conditional thinking involved, conditional things in the past. There's this, it's almost like a catastrophizing, or it's almost like a masochistic way of being,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're aware.
Right.
Where you're not allowing it to pass away. You're just holding on to this unskillful identity. Right?
It's a recognition of the second noble truth. And you are developing this practice to abandon because it becomes a dispassionate awareness and a realization that this is not personal. And again, it seems cliche to keep saying this is not mine, but it really is the process, the gradual process of letting go of this hindrance of ill will, because it's not personal and it's gradual and it's not something that can come easily unless you recognize that second noble truth and right intention. Right intention is a director. So yeah. Again, it's not easy, but it points in the direction of abandonment and then the development of the factors of awakening. So it really does work all together.
Yeah, I think too that, you know, the the awareness is distraction if it's not dispassionate.
Yeah.
So awareness is only useful in this context of the Buddha Dhamma and is to be understood as dispassionate awareness, not as anything else. So awareness that's not dispassionate is distraction and is a clinging, like you said, is a form of clinging to self-identification with the eye form, with the ear form, with the touch form, with the senses. So, you know, like David said, the dispassion part is, can I recognize and acknowledge the quality of my mind has arisen dispassionately? There it is. Mm-hmm. And now it's gone. It's not there anymore. So that's the application of dispassionate awareness, is recognizing and acknowledging that a quality of mind has arisen and recognizing and acknowledging that the quality of mind is not there anymore. It's passed away.
Becoming sensitive.
Right. Right. And not needing to do anything about it. It's there, but we know these things are, you know, concentrically stacked in on each other, where what's the understanding of impermanence of thoughts, feelings, emotions, sensations underlies the entire experience. Whatever is arising as a quality of mind, we know it is impermanent. Mm-hmm. We know it's temporary. We understand that deeply as the foundation of our understanding. So then I can recognize that it's arisen. Acknowledge it. I don't need to do anything about it because I understand it's impermanent. Now it's just a matter of calming bodily fabrications to allow it to pass away.
Yeah.
And then when it's not there anymore,
recognize
and acknowledge it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And then you may be thinking about something else or not. Right. Sometimes there's not a lot of thoughts that go on. Sometimes there's not a lot of, sometimes is the operative word there. Sometimes there's not a lot of thoughts going on. Sometimes there is.
In seclusion, in dispassion, you start noticing the rising and passing, being sensitive to it.
Yeah.
You're not wrestling with it. You're not like craving for it to go away, that ill will, I need it to go away. You are sensitive to it. So you don't have to direct your thought back to calm.
Yeah.
You know, it's the second jhana.
Yeah.
You're starting to have that feeling of joyful engagement because you're sensitive to it now. So these jhanas, you're passing through them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times, like that what you just described, it's the Buddha's describing, he's using these different things to describe the other thing. Like with what, like how you just said that. The description of the second jhana is also describing a quality of awakening. And a quality of awakening is also describing the description of second jhana or third jhana. So they're, these things are all together, not linear,
right,
all together, constantly able to reference one another throughout. And that's what develops through the twice a day sit, you know, and some part, you know, and to whatever level that we get to in our twice a day practice, you know, and over time that muscle comes stronger and stronger and stronger, and we get pulled off into our catastrophizing less and less and less. Doesn't mean that it doesn't ever happen. This means that it happens less. You know, like Tracy had a really good day where things became really clear in context, and then the next day it was not that good.
When Tracy said that, you described your mental health day, your anxiety went away. I took that as because the reduction of your entanglements, very simply put, it was a reduction of things that you were doing. That's how I interpreted that. And I've often said that to my friends, that desire, which is again, when that comes up, I know that I'm not skillful, but of having a simpler, and we talked about this earlier today, and that's where a lot of anxiety, I do think in general, comes from that, the heap of entanglements that have to be dealt with. And as we get older, the idea is that those go away, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of entanglements do go away. You know, your career is not as, you know, you're not, whatever.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so Tracy, I enjoyed, I really liked your what you talked about, because that kind of helped me out a little bit.
Could I ask if your experience, you know, that kind of one-sided awareness of restlessness and anxiety, if that also is present in the other, the other hindrances?
No.
Okay.
I think it's because it's so strong. Mm. It's the main distraction.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of times with hindrances is that when there's a reduction of one, another one will, like you were saying, it's just another thing that comes to mind.
Mm.
And that these things that we do in meditations to help us become dispassionately aware of them arising and then letting them go.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think there's overload.
Well, think about what Tracy did.
Yeah.
She created a physical seclusion,
yes,
which allowed her to mentally
interrupt
and to calm herself. And that's really what meditation is just this like laboratory that you're doing it artificially.
In fact,
yeah.
Fabrication.
First jhana.
Yeah.
Right. That's it.
Right.
Lastly, because I took up a lot of time with anxiety disorders, they have shown at Johns Hopkins that meditation is much better than any type of medication,
right,
because of what we've all been talking about, recognition. Because everything else is just...
Well, it's internal versus external. Like a lot of conversations about anxiety is about, oh, it's work that's causing me anxiety.
Right.
Well, it's how I'm interpreting work. It's how I'm interpreting the incoming to the sixth sense base that's causing the stress. So
thank you for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim. It's good to see you.
I also want to say that there is a very physical component to anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
That sometimes that physical component to anxiety is why it's so difficult to deal with it in meditation.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to, you know, I'm very aware that in most people in the last 30 years, there is a metabolic component there. And that's why it tends to be so overwhelming, because your body is just screaming anxiety, which makes just dealing with it in dispassionate awareness a difficult thing to do. It's not going to go away so soon, and you may have to deal with the metabolic component there, which is a bit longer in it takes longer, but it can make the other effort that you're doing in meditation much more fruitful.
Well, just one more thing. Tim and I talk, he's like the smartest guy I've ever met. To tell you the truth, and we know this, you're like, you have to reduce your distractions. That's the truth of the matter.
Well, that summarizes the talk today.
And you actually had said before, and jokingly, but there's a strand of truth to that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'm just gonna leave home or do whatever I have to do, go live in a hut in the woods.
It would be easier.
These distractions are preventing you from being still in the center.
Yeah.
So that is something you might, well, listen, you're on your own.
Make your own decisions.
Zach, you're going
to share.
Okay.
Thank you for your teaching with me.
Oh,
you're welcome. It was great to be here and hear all this stuff. I've been missing it. And Michael was talking about the peace, the peace of mind that you get from everything falling away. And that's what I've been missing. So
it's good to see you.
Good to be here. I would have blessed.
Great to see you. So, Zach.
Come back on Saturday or following Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're watching you.
Yeah, I'll keep it really brief. For me, what's been really helpful is, what am I using any of this for? What am I using the sixth sense media for? What am I using the hindrances for? And I find that often I was using it for the establishment of ego in some sense, right? No doubt.
Establishment of form, establishment of,
So just abandon that.
Easy peasy.
I was diagnosed with OCD like a year and change ago, and I'm through this practice just 95% of the time. Outside of that, I might say, if not close to 100%.
It's great.
So it's achievable. Yeah, so I can stick with it.
Well, and I think that's the message, is that this is possible.
We'll talk more on Saturday, but really, it's the development of the awakening factors. You're developing this. This is, and the Buddha's helping us along. He's saying these are seven factors that you should be developing and realizing and being aware of.
Right.
So then this abandonment is possible because they'll start falling away. They'll become less than what Matt was saying. And that's the
right
practice.
And that's the importance of recognizing when they're not here. Whoop, okay. And then those gaps become bigger
Julia,
and the frequency.
Julia experiencing that auditory hindrance is not as strong as it was because of this practice. It's not perfect, but it's
right.
developing because she's seeing that this is not permanent.
Right. So, well, and when the husband changes the radio station, so, you know, being sensitive to that.
Enter a Venus flytrap.
All right, David. Yeah. Want to say anything? Okay. All right. Oh, I'm trying to put anything away here. Where am I? So. Okay. All right. All right. This is what is done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. They are able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied. They remain unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways. They are peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. They do not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. They are always mindful that all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born. They are always mindful to not deceive another or despise any being in any state. They abandon anger and ill will with ease, never wishing harm upon another. Even as a mother protects her life, her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart, the wise disciple cherishes all living things. They radiate kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, they maintain refined mindfulness. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, having completed the path, does not give birth to another moment rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. Thank you. Thank you.